Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Christ, about how Christ is superior in all aspects and in everything, and how our hope, as we saw this morning, should not be in the traditions of men, should not be in the thoughts of men, but should be exclusively in the words of Christ. Well, now we are transitioning into that part of Colossians where Paul is going to instruct us how we ought to live in light of the supremacy of Jesus. And so now we're going to get more practical, you might say, as opposed to being theological in the first half. That doesn't mean there's no theology, obviously, but we get an opportunity now to think about how does the supremacy of Christ affect my everyday life? And so now we're moving sort of from theory, from knowledge to practice. And he's going to get very practical in a little bit. Starting tomorrow, we're going to look at the method for Christian living, and then we'll look at some of our key relationships and how we are to navigate those in Christ. But we begin tonight at this sort of pivot point where we are going to learn the basic principle for Christian living. Basically, Paul is going to summarize all of Christian living into one principle. And then from this principle, the rest of the book is going to flow out of. Okay, so that's where we are headed this evening. We are covering only four verses. We're in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at this in two sections. First, Paul's going to give us two imperatives for Christian living before then giving us the basic principle. And so if we can lock into this basic principle for Christian living, then all of the numerous ways that I live, all the various relationships I have, will be ordered correctly and will be God-honoring. That's what the new life is all about. And so let's read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll first look at these two imperatives together. Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice the word if that begins this section, verse 1. This again in Greek is a first class condition. I mentioned that a couple of days ago, I think. So in other words, this if statement is really a since statement or a because statement. And so when you read this sentence, it should be because then you have been raised with Christ. Because Paul knows that this is true about you, then here are two imperatives for how to live. And so the first question you have to stop and ask yourself is, am I with Christ? Have I experienced union with Christ in his death and in his burial, and especially in this case, Paul mentions his resurrection? Have you been raised with Christ to walk in the newness of life? If the answer is no, then today is the day of salvation. I would plead with you that you'd consider placing your faith in Christ for the very first time and experience this new life. But if it is the case that you have union with Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, then Paul has two commands for us. The first command is seek. This actually has an ongoing, this is in the present tense in Greek, this is an ongoing action. So it might be more accurate to translate this, keep seeking or continue to seek. Seek in your seeking. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep seeking. This involves effort. This is another term that Paul likes to use that is athletic in nature. It's about a striving, an effort to obtain. This focuses more on our outward actions. That as I live, as I am active in the world around me, that I am pursuing eternal things. Jesus talks about this idea a lot, about laying up your treasures in heaven. About when you and I work, when we live, we do so with eternity in mind. We do so with heaven as our focus. Because that's where Christ is. The Bible says that when he arose and then ascended to the Father, he sat down because the work of salvation was complete. And he will remain seated there until the Father makes his enemies his footstool when he returns. And we'll talk about that because Paul does in verse 4. But right now, today, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're told in Hebrews that he is our great high priest. That he is our defense attorney before God. That no charge can be brought against us because Christ says to the Father, no, this person's not guilty. They're holy. He is on our side, praying for us. And so Paul is commanding us that we make an effort, that we are seeking Christ. We are seeking heavenly things in how we live. In the steps we take, in this walk that we are called to. Second command, the second imperative is set your minds on things that are above. Notice, in both cases, it's the things that are above that are important. We are to seek the things that are above. We are also to set our minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is more of an inward aspect. So we have the outward where we are seeking, and we have the inward where we are setting our minds on. I've mentioned Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 mirror this notion almost exactly, where Paul says, therefore, in light of God's mercy, because of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Right? That's the physical. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? And so in both cases, there is this dual emphasis. My actions, the outward, I'm seeking the things that are above, but also in my mind, in my heart, in my inward self, I am seeking Christ who is above. I'm seeking God's will. I'm seeking to live according to Christ's desires for me. I am seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so this focus of ours, if we are going to live this new life properly, we must be seeking God's kingdom. We must be meditating on and setting our minds on God's kingdom. And this is an ongoing thing. This is a daily process. Something I encourage our students to do often, is that they wake up every morning and preach the gospel to themselves. You need to hear the message of the gospel every day. You wake up and you say, God, I thank you that Christ died for me, that he rose again, that I may too walk in the newness of life. God, I pray that I would live in light of the gospel today. What a great way to renew your mind, to renew your focus, to renew your purpose. As opposed to, I wake up, oh, let's check out what I missed on my phone. Let's check out something else that's going to distract me. No, set your minds on things above. Remind yourself of who you are in Jesus, a child of God, a citizen of heaven, and that should be your focus. That should be your pursuit. And so we have these two great commands. Keep seeking, keep setting your minds on things that are above. Well, that brings us to the second section, the basic principle for Christian living. What is this principle that is going to allow us then to continue to grow as we walk with Jesus? Let's look at verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Do you see the connection between your life and with Christ? Do you see that in both verses? And so ultimately, once again, the basic principle is that I have become one with Jesus. That is the primary spiritual blessing of salvation, is that Christ and I have become one. That is the primary blessing. I've been unified with Jesus. And I love how Paul says it here, that my life is hidden with Christ. There's intimacy there. There's such a personal connection with Jesus there. There's actually knowing him personally, like a friend and a brother. One of the hardest things, I shouldn't say one of the hardest things, the hardest thing that I've experienced in my life is that my parents divorced when I was 4. In fact, my first memory that I have is sitting in the kitchen. I don't know, I was probably like 2 or 3, in and amongst groceries that we had just gotten, and my parents yelling at each other. That is a hard thing, to experience the brokenness of a relationship between your parents. That's a hard thing. I'm sure many of you have experienced that too. And so the fact that when I came to Jesus, I became a part of his family. God is my father. Christ is my brother. He is my friend. There is intimacy there. That was such a powerful thing for me. That was so powerful. Because for the first time, I felt like I was a part of a healthy, loving family. And so my prayer for you is that you all would appreciate how in Christ your life is hidden with him. Again, Christ is a personal God. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He knows you personally. He wants to be known by you. And so when we think about what it means to live the Christian life, ultimately it is about recognizing our fellowship with Jesus. That's the principle. That I've been united with Christ. That we have a special relationship. One of the coolest things, if you read the book of Revelation, one of the coolest things is that there is this section that talks about how we'll all have a hidden stone, this stone with a name on it that only Jesus knows, that he will call us. How cool is that? Jesus is going to have a nickname for you, a name of endearment that only you and he will know about. I think that's so cool. Your best friend. It's Jesus. And so because we have died in Christ, verse 3, our life is hidden with him. We live with Christ every single day of our lives. He's already talked to us about this mystery of Christ in us. So every step I take with Jesus, with the creator of the universe, the one who is supreme. And I have more intimacy with him than Adam and Eve even did. Think about that. Adam and Eve walked alongside God in the garden. I get to walk with Christ in me. He's inside of me. It's beautiful. And so because of that, I want us to think about some implications. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is John 14. We can turn there if you would like to. John 14. Beautiful passage of Scripture. In this, Jesus is in the upper room. He's talking to his disciples one final time before his death. He has washed their feet. He has declared to them that he is preparing a place for them, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And then he promises them the Holy Spirit. We're going to pick it up in verse 15, but I really want you to see verse 19. Think about this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pause. That's a strong statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. The world does not see Jesus, but you and I get to experience him every second of every day. Do not miss that. That you have Jesus. And so our life draws nourishment from intimacy with Christ. That's the first implication of us having our lives hidden with Christ. That our life, our very life itself, draws nourishment from intimacy with Jesus. He goes on to say in the very next chapter, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in him, you will bear much fruit. Christ is the nourishment that you and I need. And so our life draws nourishment from our intimacy with Jesus. The second implication is that our life is safe and secure. Look at Ephesians 1. Our life is safe and secure. I'm sure in theological discussions, it's come up with you. It comes up with me all the time. Can you lose your salvation? Once you place your faith in Jesus, if that is a real, authentic thing, is it possible for you to lose it? Or are you safe and completely secure in Christ? Well, let me argue for you that the Scriptures teach that you are completely safe and secure in Christ and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you have truly come to Christ and believed, there is nothing that can take that away from you. In Ephesians 1, we read about how God has blessed us with every spiritual kind of blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And he talks about how he chose us and predestined us as adoption, for adoption as sons through Christ, according to the purpose of his will. But let's look at a little further down. Let's begin in verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, look what he says, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That when I place my faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit seals me. He secures me. For what? Verse 14, this seal of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When I place my faith in Jesus, I am sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, and that is God's guarantee that I will receive the inheritance that he has promised to all those who believe in him. There's absolutely nothing that can go against a guarantee, a promise of God. True? True. You can take this to the bank. And so my life is completely safe and secure because it is hidden with Christ. Nothing can change that. So our first implication is that our life draws nourishment from intimacy with Christ. That's what it means, that my life is hidden with Christ. Second implication of my life being hidden with Christ is that I am completely safe and secure. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And the third implication, I've already touched on it, but if you go back to what Colossians teaches, it is that Christ is with us always. Christ is with us always. We see this at the Great Commission, Matthew 28. The very last words that Jesus says before he ascends completely to the Father is, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. In John 14, we saw that the Spirit is with us forever. God's presence is within you and will be within you for all eternity. And eventually you will see Jesus face to face as well. In the eternal state, we will experience all three members of the Trinity for eternity. All three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be in us. The Father's presence will be the light. There'll be no more sun, moon, and stars. And Jesus will be seated on the throne and we will see him face to face. And we will spend an eternity learning about an infinite God. If God is infinite, which he is, then it will take us an infinite amount of time to know him. Think about that. And that's where this passage ends. Verse 4, this hope that eventually Christ is going to return. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Not if Christ comes back, not maybe, when Christ returns. Make no mistake, Christ is coming back. And he's going to establish his throne forever. He is going to make all things new. New heavens and new earth, for the old must pass away. And he's going to bring down the place that he told his disciples he was preparing for them, the new Jerusalem. And that's where we get to live for all eternity. When we see Jesus, when Christ returns. That doesn't get you excited. If that doesn't get you hopeful, I don't know what to do for you. Because that is exciting. That Jesus is coming back. Our big idea as we close. My life is hidden with Christ. That's the key. In order for you to live out the Christian life, you must understand that your life is hidden with Christ. That he knows you and you know him. That there is intimacy, there is friendship, there is love. So Jesus is my focus. As I seek, as I think about the things above, not the temporary things of this world. Not those things that won't last. Not those things that will be destroyed. But my life is hidden with Christ. He must be my focus. And so in light of that, we have two faith responses. The first, check your life for idolatry. What are those temporary things that you are focused on more than your hidden life in Christ? If we're honest with ourselves, we recognize how prone we are to idolatry, aren't we? How prone we are to putting other things, especially ourselves, as the ultimate authority in our life instead of Christ. Check your life for idolatry. Where is it that you are focused more on the here and now and the temporary things as opposed to setting your mind and seeking the things that are above? Because those things that come in the way of that, they're idols. That's what they are. Number two, assess your intimacy with Jesus. Do you know him? Is he your friend? It reminds me, I don't particularly like the movie Elf. I know, don't hate me. I honestly think it's a bad movie. Okay. Hot take. Relax. But this makes me think about Buddy when he hears that Santa is coming. Right? What does he say? Santa! I know him. Is that how you are about Jesus? When you hear his name mentioned, think, Jesus, I know him. He is my Savior. He is my friend. I know him. Is that how you feel about Jesus? Or is that something, you know what? I need to grow in. I need to become more familiar with Jesus through his word, through a life committed to him in prayer, through the blessing and the mentorship from people around me. How is my intimacy with Jesus? Am I pursuing an excellent knowledge of Him? Because ultimately, for us to live a life that is pleasing to God, that is valuable and worth it, it must be because we recognize that our life is hidden with Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for your word and the blessing it is to study it. And we thank you for the book of Colossians and how we get to look at it verse by verse this week. What a privilege, God. And God, I pray tonight that you'd help us to recognize how our lives are hidden in Christ. God, I pray that everyone has that experience, that everyone knows Jesus as their Savior. God, I pray once again, if there are any here who have never placed their faith in Jesus, that even tonight they would. That they would begin this journey with Christ. That they would experience the love and the intimacy of Jesus every day for the rest of their lives. God, I pray for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus. God, I pray that we would rest in Him, that we would recognize that He is our source of nourishment, that we would recognize that He holds us fast, that we are safe and secure in Him. And so, God, I pray that our life's focus would be to know Him and to make Him known. God, we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.